Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tanya Mosley. Novelist Anita Shreve is famous for her ability to get into a woman's head. In The Pilot's Wife, we saw the inner turmoil of Catherine Lyons, who discovers her husband is not the man she thought he was. In The Weight of Water, we follow Jean Janes, who struggles with obsession and revenge. Now, in her newest novel, The Stars Are Fire, Shreve introduces us to Grace Holland, who survives the largest wildfire in Maine's history and is left with anguish, but also freedom. And in Shreve's signature style, Grace's inner conversations about love and intimacy as she discovers what kind of woman she wants to be could have you thinking about your own relationships. Anita Shreve traveled down from New Hampshire to join us in studio. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So welcome home. Really, this is where you grew up. Denham, right?
Denham, yes.
Yes, graduated from Tufts.
Yes.
And you actually taught at two Boston public schools.
That's right, at Reading, in Reading and in Hingham.
Do you ever miss that?
No.
You don't?
I loved it while I did it, but I was very ready. You know, I stopped really in the middle of the year to start writing. I just had this panicky sense that I'd better hurry up.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was something within you that said, this was my calling and I've got to get
this is my calling and I can't waste a minute.
Well, so this new book, The Stars Are Fire, it's set in Maine.
Yes.
And fans of your work know that New England seems to be the backdrop of a lot of your work. What draws you, besides this being your home, to this part of the world?
Well, I seem to be particularly drawn to Maine, and I think it's there's something about the character of the people, and this is a generalization, but the character of the people seem to meld with the landscape, with this kind of flintiness of character that echoes the jagged rocks and the view of the sea, and it's a particularly wonderful place to set a story.
Mm. This book takes place in 1947 in Maine.
Yes.
And it centers around a woman, Grace Holland, who is in a dutiful but loveless marriage.
Yes.
And her two children. And one of the main events is a huge fire. And this was based on a real event.
That's right. It's used as the backdrop for the story of a woman before, during, and after the fire. And how she manages the fire. It's called the Great Fire of 47 in Maine. And it hit Bar Harbor and then York County, other places too, but the very hard hit those areas were. And I actually, in the town I lived in, 151 of 156 cottages on the beach were burned to the ground.
Wow. Wow.
So people in the area knew of the fire, and every once in a while someone would say, oh, I remember my dad used to talk about it.
Today they still remember.
Yes. Yeah. And today you can see in some places the path of the fire, because you would see in places like Goose Rocks, almost all of the houses were built after 1950.
So this was the backdrop of the story, but it's not a true story. What is the inspiration, or what was the inspiration for Grace's character?
Well, Grace's character, you know, she's fictional, but I based her background, et cetera, on my mother. I mean, I remember how she couldn't drive, so her whole life was circumscribed by the neighborhood. Everything had to take place in the neighborhood. I remember my father coming home on Thursday night, and we would go to the grocery store once a week because he'd just gotten his paycheck. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I could see her, you know, doing all her chores, which took all of her time except for 1/2 hour when she did watch her soap operas.
Wow.
It was an era in which women, you know, really were contained, I would say.
You, the book really does bring that to life when you read through Grace. It's through her thoughts, her words, really what this kind of life is like.
I just want to say one thing about that. I base Grace's chores on my mother. My parents We're happily married for 56 years.
So the difference is Grace's relationship with her husband. Yes. Yeah. She gains an inner strength, though, as we move through the book. And it's a thread that we see in a lot of your work. Talk to me about why that's a theme that we often see, like this inner turmoil with an individual character, most likely a woman, and then coming into her own.
I think it's true in a lot of my novels. I could name them, for example. But, you know, it almost started with The Weight of Water, although it was true of books before that. In the Weight of Water, there's a line, and it says, if you push a woman to the edge, how will she behave? Mm. And that, to me, is a fascinating question when you take a perfectly normal woman, mm-hmm. and then she is faced with either a catastrophe or a situation that is just unbearable. And how does she behave when she's pushed to the edge? And, of course, I choose the resilient woman because otherwise I wouldn't have much of a story if she just collapsed. But I like Grace. I like her personally. I can't always say that about all my characters.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You wrote a book in 2008.
Yes.
And this book, Testimony, was one that received mixed reviews. Talk to me a little bit, so I'll give people just an idea of what Testimony was about for those who haven't read it. It's about a sex scandal at a New England boarding school. What compelled you to write about this subject?
Well, it was much in the air. There had been the year before or several years before the Duke scandal with the lacrosse team. And then there had been at various private schools, which the news didn't come out then in the way it's coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
About sex scandals between students, but in particular, and older students engaging in sexual activities with very young students. We're talking about high school. Mm-hmm. And it was in the air. And I decided I wanted to capture that without giving it the book away. I mean, there are consequences for everybody.
One thing that's interesting, though, in many of the book reviews and those who have read it, just individuals, is the complexity of the characters. There's one book review that came out during that time, and this book reviewer says, quote, "My problem with this novel is not its ambiguity, moral or otherwise, as much as Shreve's intentional crafting of the victim as unlikable, even detestable."
Yes.
And at the same time, maybe the perpetrator being looked at in a more sympathetic light.
There were four, five perpetrators, so it was a case of four young men on one woman.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do the traditional victim. You know, I wanted her to have a little sass, and what I liked about her was the way
the traditional victim, as it's often portrayed.
As it's often portrayed, as someone who goes very quiet, who doesn't talk, who was quiet in the beginning, who definitely didn't deserve it. Not that this girl did at all. But I wanted her to be feisty. And in a way, she buries it within herself by becoming even more so. It's interesting. It's interesting. I mean, I have thought about it. I could have made her more... a little bit of both. I could have lessened the sort of outlandish qualities of her.
So looking back at this,
I often agree with reviewers.
You do, yeah.
Like you hate it when you hear it, and then you think, oh, that's true. So that was right.
Right. So if you wrote this today, you might take it on in a different way.
Well, first of all, if I wrote it today, the story would be about the outing of teachers and professors who have had affairs with their students going back to 1960. Choate is an example of that. It would be a different story today, and it would be, of course, the consequences might or might not be as severe as they were for this group of people.
Mm. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the pilot's wife. So for many people, you had been writing for quite some time.
Right.
By the time Oprah kind of plucked you from Massachusetts, from New England, and said, hey, we want to make the Pilot's Wife a book club book. that became just a huge thing for every author who was chosen for
yes.
Oprah's book club.
Yeah, she did for me. I was number 23 of 46, so I was right in the middle. And she did for me what she did for every book, which is send it right to the top of the New York Times bestseller list within 24 hours. And that was certainly something I had never imagined would happen. The most stunning thing for me personally was the night I got the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened was somebody in her office had been calling me all day, but I wasn't there. I had gone to Portsmouth to do something there. And this was before the cell phone.
No cell phone, right?
No cell phone.
Yeah.
So there was no way my husband could reach me. And I was 2 hours late getting home. And he was fit to be tied. And he said, somebody has been calling from a book club, a little literary book club in Chicago.
Just a little book club in Chicago.
No, he meant it. That's what they had said. And wants to get hold of you. And you better call him right back because he's been driving me crazy. So I went to the phone in my coat and picked up the phone. And, you know, this man got on the phone and said, oh, I'm so glad you called. My boss wants to speak to you. Bam, put me on hold. And the next thing I heard was Oprah's voice. Booming. I mean, you know, she goes, Anita. And I said, hi. And she said, I loved your book. And I said, thank you. And then all of a sudden I realized what the implications were. And
right
it was.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were, you know, you're only allowed to tell one person besides your editor and your agent. And my husband was across the room and there were kids in the room. So I had to temper my excitement somewhat so that they wouldn't be saying, what?
Because, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What a great story. One thing that's really interesting, though, that has come out of that is that beyond the book and being a piece of entertainment, the pilot's wife went on to become much bigger than that. Support groups for pilots' wives, blogs, all types of things that continue to this day. How does that make you feel knowing that your literary work has spanned way beyond a piece of entertainment for folks?
I find that interesting and I find it satisfying. You know, my great fear was that I was ruining marriages all over the country. And, you know, I heard from a number of pilots' wives who said, oh, I read the book. You know,
kind of
don't think
way.
I wasn't thinking about that. The funniest, though, is I was at an airport in where American has its hub, and I was behind two pilots, and one of them picked my book off the shelf and said, I know who this is about.
Oh, wow.
So everybody had a story about who it might or might not be.
You know so much more about the airline industry and pilots than ever before, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Novelist Anita Shreve, author of The Weight of Water, The Pilot's Wife, and her new book, The Stars Are Fire. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Bruswick. We had help from Zoe Mitchell and Caitlin O'Keefe. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Radio Boston.